Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. The program is called Talk Back because it's your opportunity to call in and share a thought, question, comment, challenge. That number from anywhere in the United States and Canada, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And we're approaching 8 million minutes of people listening over the telephone. And if you were ever out, let's say on vacation, you're traveling, you're away from your computer, away from your terrestrial radio, just call one of two numbers, 401-347-0456, 401-347-4056, or 712-432-7231, 712-432-7231. Today, I'm going to share probably in the neighborhood of 50 stories on health and healing from our public health segment today, Shady Ways That Big Pharma Is Influencing Your Doctor, from Martha Rosenberg from Alternet. And of course, throughout the entire program, I'll be taking calls. Let's begin and just see how many different insights you get. All of my articles are selected based upon coming from peer-reviewed quality science. For example, there's new research from studies in Spain, two different ones, that show that rosemary can fight against mutagenic effects of radiation. Now, they found that, of course, fighting radiation damage to the micronuclei can come from a simple garden herb. They noted that ionizing radiation causes the massive generation we call free radicals that induce your cells to have damage to the DNA. They studied the protective effects of several compounds against gamma induced chromosomal damage in the micronuclei, testing by adding various compounds to human blood before and after radiation. And when the compounds were added after gamma irradiation treatment, the protective effects relied not on scavenging ability, but on activity against free radicals already present in the cells. And it's a little complicated, but needless to say, the fact that carnosic acid and carnosol found in rosemary are fat-soluble allows them to provide highly significant protective anti-mutagenic activity. Even the most powerful water-soluble comparative study of nutrients could not show this. So, let's say you're going in for radiation, an x-ray. Make sure that you have some rosemary. Now, you can eat rosemary. You can buy a supplement tablet of it in any health food store, and that'll help you prevent some of the damage to your chromosomes that otherwise would happen. Vitamin B12 deficiency, which is rampant, is linked to birth defects. Women with low levels of vitamin B12 have up to 500% the normal risk of having a baby with a major birth defect. That's the new research. And so make sure, especially if you're vegan and you're not having any animal proteins, that you supplement with a simple B12 lozenger or sublingual, maybe 500 micrograms up to a milligram. There is a Professor D. Carter from Sydney University School of Molecular and Microbiological Biosciences said, quote, "Our research is the first to clearly show that these honey-based products could, in many cases, replace antibiotic creams on wounds and equipment such as catheters. Using honey as an intermediate treatment could also prolong the life of antibiotics. Most bacteria that cause infections in hospitals are resistant to at least one antibiotic, and there's an urgent need for a new way to treat and control surface infections." So what this means is that quality organic raw honey, preferably Manuka honey, can kill these superbugs. But it makes common sense, because throughout history, honey has been one of the most commonly used medicines of all time. In fact, during the Civil War, where nearly 700,000 Americans died, One of the reasons they died was not because they were killed outright, but because of infections. And when they're injured and they had no antibiotics, in some areas, especially those who had come from the country, they knew that normally when you have an infection, you get some honey and bee propolis from the beehive, and you pack it into a poultice and you put it on a wound. It can help keep that wound from going highly infective. That saved a lot of people. Now there is scientific evidence to support that. Also, we now see that there's a lot of money spent on health care in the United States, but did you know that health care lobbying, they spend $1.5 million a day? That's correct. $1.5 million a day. That's according to a report issued by Common Cause. And it just keeps going up. So if you want to know, why does it cost so much when you're sick? You know, why is it some things you're covered for and other things you're not covered for? And the number one cause of personal bankruptcy for 7 of the 10 years leading up to the financial crisis of 2007 was health care. And even people who thought they were fully insured, they had premiums, they were paid up, they go to a hospital, and the hospital says, no, you're not covered for that. What do you mean I'm not covered for that? Yeah, you're not covered. Why would it cost $1,400 to sleep for one night in a hospital bed and receiving no treatment whatsoever, no exam by the doctor, the nurse, no food, no water, just the bed, $1,400? How could anyone justify that? You could stay in a suite at the Waldorf Astoria for $1,400 a night. That's what the lobbyists do. They make sure that we have the most expensive medicine and health care in the world. Not the best, not by a long shot. I remember interviewing a doctor, Virginia Livingston Wheeler, at her clinic in San Diego about 20 years ago. And she was considered one of the brightest scientists and then medical doctors in America. She was doing enormously important work, and she had developed some serums, some vaccines that are made from the person's own blood that could help stop cancer. And as a scientist, she had sent it out, she had published in peer-reviewed literature, and she found that she was also interested in what causes cancer, and she said we should stop eating chickens and eggs. I said, why? She said, because of leukosis, a particular type of cancer, mainly form of leukemia, and that it's common. And then she showed me studies of one group of chickens examined. They all had it. And so she says we have to stay away from anything that's not clean food, meaning food that has not been adulterated with chemicals. Now, we've known since the mid-1970s that we were using all these antibiotics in animals to get them fat, because it was discovered that if you inject a cow with antibiotics or put it in their feed or give them a growth stimulating hormone like stibesterol at that time, they'll gain about 12% more weight without having to eat more. Well, that was a big incentive, more weight, more profit, because meat sold by the pound. But we were also finding that that dose of antibiotics was coming right through into people, and it was causing us to have low doses of antibiotics on a regular basis, so that when we did get sick and we needed an antibiotic that could save our lives, they weren't working, hence the evolution of the superbug. This is not in dispute. This is not controversial. Everyone in science recognizes that we have an over-reliance upon antibiotics. Just last year alone, upwards of 70% of all the antibiotics in the United States were used for viruses, meaning the flu and colds, and not for bacterial infections. After all, the flu and colds are not bacterial, they're viral. Therefore, they're functionally worthless. But it's not just bad enough not to work. They destroy the good bacteria, the microorganisms in your gut, and that causes a problem. So now we see, not only was Virginia Livingston Wheeler right about eating clean food, but now the surveillance information from the Canadian Integrated Program for Antimicrobial Resistance which is funded by the Public Health Service, quote, strongly indicates that an antibiotic injected into chicken eggs is making Canadians resistant to many of the medicines they're using. So the same thing's happening in Canada. It is happening for decades in the United States. And they're robotically injected into the eggs at chicken hatcheries as a preventative measure to stave off infections. And that was published in the Canadian Medical Journal. And so if you're going to eat eggs, only eat certified organic. Also, some new research shows that a flu shot increases the risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma by 53%, follicular lymphoma by 98%, and diffuse large B-cell lymphoma by 88%. Now, it's unclear whether receiving regular annual flu shots under the CDC's recommended schedule further compounds the risk of cancer over a single-dose influenza injection. But something is not even talked about in the United States. Brain cell regeneration is important, and correcting the brain is important. On their most recent 60 Minutes, they had a group of mothers whose children were considered mentally ill. One woman said that her daughter, after being released as normal from a psychiatric ward in a hospital, was saying in the psychiatrist's office that she was seeing blood pouring from the walls, and these people had a lot of problems because they're not receiving any kind of real help in these psychiatric wards. They're just kept on medications. We have an epidemic of improper treatment in the United States for people who are diagnosed with any form of psychiatric disability. First, we're not looking at the real causes. We assume it's genetic. It's not. If they were to look at the vaccines and then look at when these psychiatric symptoms began to appear, very frequently they're going to see causality. When I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of patients, parents whose children were normal and then started to act out, it was always after the vaccines. So they're not even willing to look in that area. All they're willing to do is say, gee whiz, you know, what do we do? They're too large as teenagers to have in a home when they can go violent on you. And that showed that many times the parents are attacked. Well, why don't we try this? Why don't we begin to look at all of the thousands of children who were diagnosed and suffer from full-blown autism spectrum disorder and Asperger's, many of them violent to themselves and others, who today are normal and improving on a regular basis. I've worked with them, and they're using holistic models. First, they're able to be chelated and get the heavy metals out, including the damaging materials in the vaccines, like aluminum, which is neurotoxic and can affect the central nervous system and the brain. Secondly, they're then rejuvenated by helping work on reestablishing healthy bacteria in their gut, good probiotics, because frequently they have massive inflammation in their GI tract and leaky gut syndrome. And hence, they'll suffer from massive amounts of diarrhea over a long period of time, cramps, and pain, and then they get on more meds. But when you put them on a gluten-free and a dairy-free diet, and you give them, like, glutamine and D-ribose and quercetin and alpha-lipoic acid and healthy organic meals and cabbage juice, and folic acid methylated, B12 methylated, you suddenly start to see incredible improvements. So I'm watching this and I'm thinking, wow, here we have so many people who've made improvements, and you don't see them represented because it's not a part of the orthodox medical model. Separately, we need more zinc in the American diet. People are having shortages, and the latest study shows that there can be an association between low zinc and esophageal cancer. So make sure that you're getting, and even the Journal of the National Cancer Institute had an article on this. And a Dr. Anthony Brown, a medical doctor, told Reuters, quote, people with low levels of zinc in their tissues may be at an increased risk for developing cancer of the esophagus. And so that's important that we get more zinc. And I would say 15 to 30 milligrams a day. Also, there's now some good evidence that was published in the peer-reviewed journal Archives of Internal Medicine that osteoporosis, thinning of the bones, can be due to gluten intolerance. This is, I'm quoting now from Reuters, quote, some people develop osteoporosis, the mineral loss disease that leads to brittle bones, because their bodies cannot tolerate wheat flour. Gluten intolerance, called celiac disease, can be treated, so the damage done by osteoporosis can be reversed. And it goes on to talk about that. Quote, our results suggest that as many as 3 to 4% of patients who have osteoporosis have the bone disease as a consequence of this. So once again, get rid of the gluten. You're going to feel better, because gluten also causes brain fog. Now, something that can help those of you who know someone who may have pancreatic cancer, one of the most deadly cancers we have, is red wine. A really good study shows that that was published in the Advances in Experimental Medicine and Biology, that the active ingredients called resveratrol in red wine, which is in grapes, which is in grape juice. You actually get more in grape juice than you do wine. So if you had a glass of grape juice each day, organic grape juice, no sugar, just plain grape juice, you'd be doing yourself an enormous amount of good. Now, the resveratrol, and just so you know how to write it down, because people say we'll spell stuff, and that's why I frequently spell something, because if they're listening, they want to know, what do I ask for? Res, R-E-S, Vera, V-E-R-A, Trol, T-R-O-L. That's what you find in the skin of red grapes, and that's very important. Now, separately, in the seed of the grape, you also have what are called proanthocyanidins, and the two together are terrific. And in this case, it was found that it could help to induce pancreatic cancer cells to malfunction and die. Very important. But also, there are foods, including raspberries, blueberries, peanuts, that also contain resveratrol. But they're most abundant in grapes. The research was done at the University of Rochester Medical Center, New York. So have your resveratrol. Supplementing, I would say 100 milligrams. If you're healthy, and if you're not healthy, if you had pancreatic cancer, well, I'd be upping that substantially, at least to 700 milligrams a day, meaning spread throughout the day. Also, there is a fruit. It is called jujube, J-U-J-U-B-E, jujube, and it has an acid in it. And this acid is a betulinic, B-U-T-U-L-I-N-I-C. It's very abundant in the fruit. Now, why is that important? Because some new research shows that it exerts an anti-melanoma activity, causing programmed cell death. The cell dies. It commits suicide, the cancer cell. And that's important because it accumulates at the cellular DNA level, which can then cause the monoclonal antibodies to the fragmented DNA, and you see the cell die. So get that. It can also help with other cancers. You're looking at preventing malignant tumors, the colon, intestine, stomach, breast, melanoma, glioblastoma, lung, cervix, ovary, prostate, oral cavity, liver, pancreas, kidney, bladder, endothelial cells, leukemia, and myeloma. So important, right? And there's also an herbal extract, which is called Ziziphus, Z-I-Z-Y-P-H-U-S. It's also rich in this butylenic acid. And an advantage of the extract is that the butyllinic acid has low systemic toxicity. And the extract inhibits protein kinase C activity of the cancer cells and induces the cancer cell to die. So that I'll bet you haven't heard of. Also, from Science Daily, research done at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and the Harvard School of Public Health, published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Clinical Oncology, shows that vitamin D is linked to colon cancer survival. Now, in lay language, it means this. Patients diagnosed with colon cancer who had abundant vitamin D in their blood were less likely to die during a follow-up period than those who were deficient in the vitamin, and that's according to Harvard. Quote, our data suggests that higher pre-diagnosis plasma levels of vitamin D after a diagnosis of colorectal cancer may significantly improve overall survival, end quote. Now, you'd think that we're getting enough vitamin D, but two reasons we're not. 97% of African Americans are shown to be deficient, and we're not getting outside with bad weather and getting enough sunlight over enough of our body. Even when we're in the sun, we frequently put so much of the protective sunscreen on that it blocks vitamin D from being able to be synthesized in our skin. So, then take your vitamin D. I'm going to suggest 3,000 to 5,000 units a day. New research published in the peer-reviewed journal Diabetes Care shows that soy protein, and of course, we're always suggesting non-GMO organic, is beneficial in type 2 diabetes. So if you have a diet that has some soy protein in it, let's say from tofu or tempeh, or maybe in your protein shake in the morning, that can help the heart, blood vessels, and kidneys of people with type 2 diabetes and kidney disease. That's according to the latest research. So that was done at the Isfahan University of Medical Sciences. Now, I love mushrooms. I'm sure you love mushrooms as well. But one mushroom we don't eat in the United States at all, almost impossible to find in restaurants, is the reishi mushroom. Reishi, R-E-I-S-H-I. Also, we have tea, but most people don't drink green tea. They drink other teas. Big mistake. Here's why. The reishi mushroom, also called the Ganoderma lucidum, and very powerful, according to Science Daily, some really good research done at the Clinical Pharmacology Center in Beijing and published in the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology, shows that both the reishi mushroom and green tea have an important place in helping you to slow sarcoma. And that's good, because you want a strong immune system, and the reishi and green tea both stimulate the immune system in a good way, nothing harmful. So make sure that if you know someone who has sarcoma, that they're getting their green tea. I'm going to suggest, let's say, maybe 500 to 1,000 milligrams a day of decaffeinated, and the reishi, and that should be at least 1 to 2 servings a day if you have it. And there's a lot of science now on mushrooms, and they're loaded with polysaccharides and also what are called triterpenes, and that's good for you. So, also, green tea in a separate study was shown to protect the prostate from prostate cancer, and especially in this large study. This was a study involving 49,920 men aged 40 to 69 in Japan, and this was an official study from the Japan Public Health Center prospective study. And what they found was this, that the incidence of prostate cancer is much lower in Asian and than in Western populations. And given that the environmental factors such as dietary habits play a major role in the causation of prostate cancer, and the higher consumption of green tea in Asian populations they wanted to do this study, and they did, and they found out that the green tea made all the difference in the world in protecting the men from prostate cancer. So that was from the Epidemiology and Prevention Division, Research Center for Cancer Prevention and Screening, the National Cancer Center, Tokyo. So it's a big deal. It's a big study, well done. Another thing that we should be doing for our senior citizens, instead of watching them waste away, instead of watching mom or dad or aunts and uncles, even brothers and sisters develop dementia, we could intervene and we could stop it. And we can, in many cases, reverse it. This is the latest study, as mentioned in Science Daily. And this was done from the Academy at University of Gothenburg in Sweden. And it was important because it showed that wine can protect against dementia. Well, is that the same wine that has the same resveratrol? Yes, that I mentioned earlier. Why? Because they found that the wine, when consumed in a population study of women over a period of decades, was able to protect. And why does it protect? Because of its high level of antioxidants. So the more things you take in that turn off inflammation and protect against inflammation, the better your brain's going to be. And therefore, you're not going to have the dementia. Now, mind you, this is just one single supplement, and it can make a difference. When I work with people, I counsel people who have dementia or Alzheimer's, they may be on 60, 70 supplements, plus a whole dietary change. That's why we get the good results. But now it's good to see that other studies are shaping up and giving some support to that. But it's not just that. There's also other fruit. This is from the University of Reading, and the medical school in the southwest of England. They found that as you get older, you start to lose things, forget things. Your brain is affected. So they did a study at the School of Food Biosciences and Psychology, and they found that flavonoids and anthocyanins and flavanols were the key to protecting your brain. Now, what are these in lay language? These are all plant-derived molecules, and they protect your brain. Why? Because they've been shown to cross the blood-brain barrier, and that's a good thing because they protect. And then they also help enhance learning, help enhance memory by enhancing existing neuron or brain cell connections and improving cellular communication and stimulating neuronal regeneration. That's right, you can rejuvenate the neurons in the brain. So this is important. And so which are the most common foods to use? Try blueberries. Blueberries are at the top of that list. Also, macadamia nuts can be included in a heart-healthy diet. And this is the latest study from Penn State. And here's what it says from Science Daily. Quote, macadamia nuts included in a heart-healthy diet reduced low-density lipoprotein cholesterol. That's the bad cholesterol, and should be included among nuts with qualified health claims. Quote, we looked at macadamia nuts because they're not currently included in the health claim of nut trees, while other nuts are currently recommended as part of a heart-healthy diet. This is according to a Dr. Greil, and he is the top scientist, senior nutrition scientist. And, quote, macadamia nuts have higher levels of monounsaturated fats, like those found in olive oil, compared with other tree nuts. Along with Brazil nuts and cashews, macadamias are not included in the U.S. Food and Drug Administration list of nuts with qualified health claims because the cutoff point is 4 grams saturated fat per 50 grams of nuts. But they should be, quote, epidemiological studies showed that people who are frequent nut consumers have decreased risk of heart disease. And that's the distinguished professor of nutritional sciences being quoted. So, along with almonds and pistachios and walnuts and pine nuts. You can now add macadamia nuts for helping your heart. New information from Oregon Health and Science University shows that compounds derived from black pepper are important, helping with vitiligo, which affects an estimated 100 million people worldwide. You know what that is. It's what Michael Jackson had. It's the loss of pigment in affected areas of the skin, sometimes creating some unsightly white patches. And, of course, that can cause emotional distress for many people, often leads to social ostracism because of widespread misperception that the condition is infectious. So, pepper compound. And this was published in the British Journal of Dermatology. So, now you know what to do there, and that nobody knows about that. And seniors with type 2 diabetes may experience memory declines immediately after eating an unhealthy meal. Now, this goes against that old moderation in all things. Well, what if something's toxic? Could you then justify moderate lead, moderate cadmium? What is moderate? You have a vaccine given to a 60-pound kid and a 300-pound athlete, someone who's 18 and someone who's 80. Do you say that, you know, they're all affected the same? Would someone drinking a cola with 9 teaspoons of sugar, if they're a teenager, affect the body the same as an adult of 200 pounds? No. So we've got to get out of this idea that somehow there's no consequence, as long as we have things in moderation. Now think of all the bad food people eat in a week or in a day. It can have an impact that's immediate. This was published in the Peer Review Journal of Nutrition Research. Here's what it says. Quote, adults with type 2 diabetes who eat unhealthy, high-fat meals may experience memory declines immediately afterwards. But this could be offset by taking antioxidant vitamins with the meal. Well, most people are going to eat a bad meal. Don't eat healthy vitamins. You know, it's like saying, well, a person smokes 2-pack cigarettes a day, but they make sure they get all their vitamin C in a day. No, it doesn't work that way. And also, a new study from the American Heart Association and published in their peer-reviewed journal Circulation shows that soy milk protein linked to lower blood pressure, quote, the supplement was able to lower systolic blood pressure compared to refined carbohydrate dietary supplements. So that's good. So the one more reason to understand how the Japanese and the Chinese have so little osteoporosis, so little high blood pressure, because they have a lot of soy. In the United States, we have 75 million Americans have high blood pressure. That's why it's called the silent killer. And this was done at Tulane University School of Public Health. And finally, memory loss is linked to metabolic syndrome. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Neurology from the American Academy of Neurology. And it's about aging humans with indications of metabolic syndrome. That means you have high blood pressure or increased fat around your waist, and you're at a greater risk of succumbing now to memory loss. And so the fat in our diets, which is just epidemic with so much obesity and overweight, is causing memory loss. So just think of that next time you sit down to a big meal you shouldn't have. Oh, and by the way, just as an aside, big pharma giant Johnson & Johnson admitted bribing European doctors and agreed to pay $70 million in civil and criminal court costs. That's according to a piece in the New York Times. So why do I find this of interest? Because if you and I commit any crime whatsoever, we're forever monikered and labeled with it. Pharmaceutical companies commit crimes weekly. hundreds of thousands of lawsuits they've settled for wrong deeds. But nothing ever sticks to their reputation. Look at all the companies that have created drugs that have injured and killed people, and yet we don't stop before taking their drugs and say, well, hold on, didn't they create those drugs that killed 60,000 people like Vioxx? Yes. And didn't they fraudulently do this, this, this? Yes. Well, they don't have any integrity or honesty. They're just in it for profit. So why should we get anything else from them? We shouldn't. But that's the way it works. And if you want a food that can reduce inflammation, according to the latest study for University of Toronto, as published in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition, almonds. Almonds, in this study, reduced inflammation by about the same level as a first-generation statin drug. How about that? Well, I'd rather take almonds than statin drugs because statin drugs have terrible side effects. Almonds only have good effects. Well, this is where you find all that stuff out. I'm Gary Nall. We're here to help people in their journey of health and healing and awareness. In a moment, we're going to be starting to take your calls. Our number here is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. So let's take a little break, come back, and see what's on your mind. Welcome, all of you. Please remember that it's not just listening to these radio programs, which 98% of all listeners do by downloading the program, generally in the evenings, that's what we find, from their computers, because most people can't listen during the workday when it's on. But you can go to the archives at any time. Also, every day we find the most important progressive articles on about 45 different areas of life. We do not select those that you find in the mainstream media because those are almost always very shallow and limited and not empowering. We like to empower people with the information we give. So those are there as a public service, plus documentaries, original investigative reporting pieces. They're also there. Let's say hello to, who do we have from Ridgewood, New Jersey? Not sure of your name. If you're from Ridgewood, say hello to us.
Maybe Richfield, New Jersey?
Yes, Richfield.
Okay, Picnic.
Oh, Picnic.
Yes.
All right, how can we help you?
Thank you, Gary, for taking my call and for all you do. There are many supplements we need to take for preventive maintenance. How would you prioritize them if we had limited resources?
I would start with what I could get from the diet first. The concentration of the chlorophyll-rich foods, such as the salad greens, and those are inexpensive. So turnip greens and beet greens, Swiss chard, arugula, kale, watercress, parsley. Those are all rich in a full spectrum of nutrients, including folic acid and calcium, magnesium. So if you're eating a lot of greens, you're getting a lot of the basic minerals. Then the citrus will also help you with bioflavonoids, quercetin, vitamin C. Grapes, especially those that have seeds, that would be good and for your flavonoids. And so grapes, which are not expensive, Always make sure you wash all food with a simple cleanser, a veggie wash. You spray it on, you massage the leaves of its lettuce on the top, turn it over, rinse, do the same on the bottom, then put it into a bowl and fill the bowl up and agitate with your hand and then pour it out. I wash everything. That way you know you're not getting contamination. Hey, look, didn't you just hear today that a cruise ship that is supposed to hold very high standards, hundreds of people came down with gastrointestinal sickness, diarrhea? And that means that someone, somewhere in that food process, created a contamination. Because people, when you have, 1,300 crew members and those handling food, it's very easy to be contaminated. They'll find the cause, but it won't help the people who are now spending their whole cruise sick. And they don't have the same hygiene. They don't have the same sense of cleanliness. I think it's very important. That's why I will not eat in a raw food restaurant. Because it's good if I knew it was not contaminated. But how do I know it's not contaminated? It's so easy to contaminate things. So that's a big plus. Get your fruits and vegetables, clean them, eat them. Then beyond that, which supplements are you going to have to supplement? Number one would be vitamin C, because you need about, in my opinion, between 3 to 13,000 milligrams a day. Ideally buffered, and take it before you go to bed too. It might help prevent a stroke during the night. Vitamin E. You would never be able to get the amount of vitamin E from your food. So generally 400 to 1,000 units from mixed tocopherols. Taken again, half in the morning and half before you go to bed. Again, thinning the blood while you sleep and protecting your heart. Coenzyme Q10, 100 to 1,000 milligrams. Unless you have disease and dementia, Alzheimer's, alcoholism, then it can go up much, much higher. That's a superstar you need to take. If you took a 50 milligram B complex, that would also help. The others you can generally get by with from the food that you eat. But those are what I would start with. Okay?
Thank you.
All the best. Now let's say hello to Paula from Florida. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Oh, Paul. Sorry, Paul. Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if you could help me with nasal polyps.
Sure. Okay. Most people may not know what a polyp is. Polyps are non-cancerous, what we call benign growths, and they can come in different sizes. And generally, they grow from the epithelial lining of the large intestine, but they can grow in your nose, as you have it, Paul, and the cervix or the bladder. And most people have them in the rectum or the sigmoid colon. And most polyps of the colon or the rectum, they don't cause any symptoms. Most people will catch them with a routine examination. And it's only when they start causing rectal bleeding or cramping abdominal pain that we realize they're there. And there's different types. What is called the familial polyposis, which is hereditary, or cervical polyps, etc. So what do we do? There's even bladder polyps that produce blood in the urine. First thing I would do is I would get on a high-fiber, animal-free diet. I would have lots of fruits with edible seeds, such as figs, raspberries, strawberries, pomegranates. Very good, high fiber. Then I would make sure that I had more legumes and grains like barley, and that's very important. I would also have a lot more juices, and I would have green juices. I would exclude all alcohol, caffeine, processed sugars, and artificial sweeteners completely. And I would make sure that I have vitamin A because it protects the membranes lining the body. Vitamin C reduces the number of polyps. In fact, I've seen people eliminate polyps 100% on very high vitamin C doses. Vitamin E, that superstar, protects against the effects of lipid peroxidation, and coenzyme Q10, what I just mentioned, increases cellular oxygen levels. And that works very well with coenzyme A. I would also use aloe vera 3 or 4 times a day. That improves digestion. You put in some good probiotics, and that cleanses the digestive tract. The herbs would be butcher's broom, cardamom, cayenne, and ginger and green tea. All good. Why? Because there's a thermogenic herbs that improve digestion. Also, cascara, C-A-S-C-A-R-A, that is good for you. So those are some of the things that I would suggest. All the best to you. And let's say hello now to Luann. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I have a very interesting email here. First, I want to take a moment to thank you for a phenomenal retreat that a number of people were just on. Just so much positive feedback pouring in. I got an email here from, looks like Gina, and she says that her mother is a retired medical doctor who lives now in Hawaii. She's actively involved with GMOs on the grassroots level. And she said, I grew up hearing about you via my mom's stories. She used to go to the upstate New York retreats. She was very cynical, and she actually came up there to try and rebut what you were speaking about and writing about. And she used to tell me that the place had very few creature comforts, and people would come up like for a weekend. And by the time, after the end of the time that she spent there one weekend, she was so changed by what she saw and heard that she came back 5 more weekends during the summer. She said there were old bungalows and no hot water, but no one minded because the event was so great, especially the cooking and gardening classes and nature walks. And she said during these visits she came to realize the power of vegan cuisine. She would always tell me about things like there was this huge selections, and she says even the leftovers were donated to the hungry and the homeless. And she said there were about 30 different entrees laid out on picnic tables. Plus, people had the opportunity to watch and see how it was prepared. And she also told me stories about all the different animals in the pasture. And the caretaker there explained to her that they were either old or abused or abandoned animals that you were caring for, and how you dedicated your time to nursing them to health instead of having them euthanized. And there was even an area where there were wild animals, and she saw you sitting amongst these animals, and she describes you as a sort of an animal whisperer. And she said by the end of the summer, she found out that they were all rehabilitated and found homes or sent back into the wild. She said, today my mom looks younger than her age. She exercises every day, is socially active, and she's spreading the word about health. One of the things we often argue about, though, is this, that in spite of all this new information, she never became an alternative practicing physician. And she says that she felt that she would lose her standing in the medical community because they were very closed-minded and bigoted, and she didn't want to risk that loss. My questions for you are these. First, what is it that you do with the animals that is so different? Second, is it common for people like my mom to attend your programs and not gain insights but are afraid to change? And finally, what do you do if you're now retired and maybe you realize you made a mistake? Is there something you can do, or is this decision now behind her mom?
All right, I'll go
through. What's going on here?
All right, I'll go through them. I used to have people upstate in Stone Ridge at my farm drop animals off all the time. Sometimes they would explain that they'd found an animal that was injured, and my caretaker was always to say, well, take it to the local vet or animal control. And they say, well, they did, and they were just going to euthanize them. And rather than have the animal put down, they'd say that they heard I could do something. Well, I would do what every person would do, give them love and attention, and try to understand what the animal was sensing and feeling, especially those that had been abused and or abandoned. And we'd get most of them that we could back into good health and then try to find them homes. Or if they went back into the wild, put them back into the wild. And after a while, it became almost overwhelming. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I probably helped and released 5,000 or 6,000 animals. And in one go-round, there was a guy who brought some buffalo that were going to be put down because they hadn't been fed. One of these people thought it'd be a great idea to own them, and they lost so much weight. And they had ulcers all over them. The vet just said, put them down. You can't save them. And 3 years later, they were not only saved, but they were able to propagate, and there were about 60 of them. And we found a home for them, and the same with some cows, and the same with horses, and all kinds of things. You know, the pot-belly pig that's no longer little and cute, and it's got big tusks, and now the kids don't want it. What do you do with it? So I've just taken it as a responsibility to connect with nature, and that's what I do and still do, even to this day. Not every creature can be let back out because some would just die. You put them back out and they're going to die. And it takes time, especially with primates. You can't just turn them around, especially if they've been abandoned or if they have been abused, because they're very hypersensitive. But I'm happy to say that an awful lot of people now have happy, healthy, loving creatures because they had another chance at life. To answer the second question, all the time, people who are highly educated, scientists, medical doctors, professors, come to the workshops or come to retreats or come in sometimes and just watch. As you know, at the Tri-State Healing Center, it was open to the public, and I encouraged anyone to come see how healing was done from a different perspective. Every single day or night, there'd be people in there, very cautious about telling us anything about themselves, but we opened everything up so they could talk with the patients. Nothing was hidden, so they could see people who otherwise would be sick or dying, reversing, improving, or completely well. Why does this happen? I think Albert Camus said it best. Nothing is more despicable than respect based upon fear. And that's why I believe that maybe this woman who came, and I don't know who she was, no one would have identified themselves to me as such, but came and spent weekends in the country and saw all that we were doing with food and gardening and meditation and natural conservancy, and then taking that back into her practice, she would have faced formidable obstacles. No matter what she saw, no matter how many patients she saw that improved, it's not going to change the paradigm. Paradigms don't change. She would have to have joined a different paradigm. And the likelihood is that caused fear, because at that time, every single alternative doctor in America was under attack. Carl Humiston lost his license. Dr. Vance lost his license. They went after Robert Atkins. They went after every doctor. So if you see all these other people who are in the field and they're being challenged, going broke, losing their license, you're going to think twice before you do it. But now, to your last point, now that she is retired and she no longer has to obey the rules of her guild, her cult, she can do what she wants to do. So even though she's not actively practicing medicine, she could pass on the information to other medical doctors, and she could certainly come back in, because there's a need for health counselors, and that would be an important asset. I've said for a long time that if we want to help a lot of our causes, look to those who once were the heads of corporate America who are now retired, because you'll find many of them would love an opportunity to be a part of social movements. They have the resources, the intellect, they have the Rolodex, they have a lot, but they don't have any limitations on defending the corporate status. So they can follow their heart and maybe new insights that have come since they were employed. So we should be encouraging them, not vilifying them, because they could be the future. Hope that answers the question.
Sure does. Thank you.
Okay.